Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack the Tapper Brothers. Did that wake you up, Tommy?
Don't
I noticed
wake
you
me up
you
like
kind of moved suddenly. Anyway, we're broadcasting this week from the Major Announcement Pavilion here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, the bands are playing, the flags are waving.
It's really impressive. There is going to be
a major announcement.
Yes, in fact, the nature of the announcement is this. We're going to tell you later on in the show how you can win an almost all expense paid trip to our fair city to see us perform live in a venue in which we really don't belong and probably are going to have to sneak into. But we'll tell you more about it later, so stay tuned. But
quite a teaser. We'll do anything to get people to listen for more than a minute.
Yes, offer them free trips and whatever.
Free trips. And this is true. You could win.
You could.
And this is not like what you could win every week for the Puzzler. This is a real...
No. Crummy baseball hat.
No coffee mugs. No.
T-shirts. All right,
everyone. Have you had any musings this week, by the way?
I don't have any musings, but I did discover something interesting, a new syndrome.
Yeah?
Yeah. Our dear friend, Pepe, has a father who emigrated to this country from Italy some years ago. And he divulged to his son the other day that he has forgotten how to speak Italian.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I consider this rather interesting.
This is the opposite of foreign accent syndrome?
Well, he forgot how to speak Italian because when he was there as a little boy, the kind of Italian that he spoke, in fact, isn't spoken anymore. He spoke the dialect from his little village, so he can no longer speak in Italian. The only problem is during the 35 or 40 years that he's been here, he never learned how to speak English. So he has this strange...
Man without a language.
Just unable to communicate. That's an interesting... There's got to be a name for this phenomenon. It just needs to be named. I wonder how many people this happens to.
Something as good as foreign accent syndrome. That is good.
Yeah.
So what does he do, like sign language?
He grunts a lot. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Vicky from Seattle.
Vicky, with an I or a Y?
With a Y.
I knew that.
What's up, Vicky?
Well, what's up is that I've got an 88 Chevy Nova.
Uh-huh.
Which has been pretty much a trusty car, but for some reason it seems to be a magnet for accidents.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Yeah, and sure. Those trees just jump out in front of you, don't they?
Well, no. It's been 5 accidents, and 3 out of those 5 times it's been parked with nobody in it.
So it is a magnet.
It really is a magnet.
Yeah.
And the problem that I have is not so much that it's a bad car, it's that it's a really flimsy piece of junk.
Yeah.
Every single time it gets hit, it comes out looking terrible. And the vehicle that hits it looks really good. And what I want is a new car that will be sufficiently tank-like to withstand any impact. And also
56 DeSoto!
Well...
You know what it is? It isn't... First of all, I got to explain... There are some cars that are sufficiently tank-like to do incredible damage to the likes of an 88 Nova.
Uh-huh.
But what really, the biggest determinant is who does the hitting.
Exactly.
If you had done the hitting with your car and been whacking away at Camrys and Subarus, your car would look great because you'd be hitting them with the least vulnerable part, which is the bumper.
Uh-huh.
So these people are plowing into you. And they're hitting you with their bumpers and driving away unscathed, and your poor car is getting all beat up.
The sides of the car are really vulnerable.
You need side bumpers.
Yeah.
I need side bumpers?
Well, you know, like the bumper cars at the beach?
Well, that's an idea. I mean, I'm not even just talking about huge American cars that have hit me, and that's happened. But a motorcycle cop hit me. and the only thing that happened is the guy had a little scratch on his boot. My car was completely crumpled.
Because he hit the side of your car someplace, right?
Yeah, the sides crumple easily. Those are called the crumple zones.
Yeah. And that car does not have what's called side impact protection.
Well, that's pretty new, isn't it?
That's pretty new. That's right.
Yeah, last week, I think.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, even if it did, they get crumpled. Cars are supposed to get crumpled when they get hit.
Yeah, but I see so many cars that are big and solid. Like what?
No, there aren't any cars that are big and solid.
Come on.
There aren't.
No, in fact, most of those cars that are big, they're all air. They're all air.
They're air?
Yeah. They look big, but there's nothing substantial. They crumble, too.
So So basically, if I'm going to be hit, it seems to be my destiny.
Yeah, but
even if I get a Volvo or a Sherman tank, it's still going to crumple.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to suggest that you may not have to get a car that's tank-like, because the next one you get may not have this magnet for accidents.
Oh, well, that
that would be nice.
What, I mean, what color is your car?
It's
black.
Brown.
Yeah.
Brown, huh?
Dull.
Well,
that's interesting. Well, I would go for a brighter color. They mustn't see your car. I would go for white. White's the safest car, you know.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, I didn't until just now. I made it up, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
No, it's shown that the color of the car is a function, does in fact determine to some extent how many accidents you have.
Well, I've heard that red cars are harder to insure or more expensive to insure because of that, but this is brown. I mean,
yeah, brown.
No, I don't think they discriminate as far as colors go. But there's a law about that, I think.
Oh, well, that's
but,
good.
But it's probably true that white cars are safer because they're or lighter colored cars because they're more visible.
Okay.
So I would go for a lighter colored car, and don't go for a big tanky car if you don't need one.
Well, it's just really demoralizing.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how you feel. I mean, if I had a car that kept getting whacked and smashed,
he wouldn't know.
No, I never get to drive it. It's in the shop all the time.
So I don't know, Vicky, what to tell you except to go light.
Go light color.
Light color, yeah.
And hope that your new car doesn't have the same kind of magnetism as the old one.
Okay, well, that's certainly cheaper than getting a...
Oh, better than that. Don't do any of this.
What?
Okay. Take this 88 Nova, which is a perfectly serviceable car.
And paint it white.
And paint it. Go to Earl Scheib.
Why paint it? It's already smashed to hell.
No, you just fix it. It's just come out of the body shop. Paint it. It will feel like a new car.
Really?
It will feel and smell like a new car. It's the paint.
It will smell like a new car.
It's that paint. You know, don't remember all those times we rolled out of Real Shy, man, with those big grins on our faces? Tommy and I...
That was living, wasn't it?
We used to own a couple of real heaps. Tommy decided to be a college professor and still owns heaps because he doesn't want to work. I instead got a real job, and I have graduated to somewhat nicer cars, but for many years we owned heaps, and the way we kept ourselves out of a constant state of depression was
yeah,
by monthly
weekly paint job.
Going to either Earl Scheib or Maaco and getting at the time, I believe, the $29.95 paint job.
In by 10, out by 12.
So you think a $29.95 paint job is what I need?
Well, it's $399 now. It's
uh-huh.
It's several hundred dollars.
Uh-huh.
But it's the equivalent of $29.99.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, I suppose it is.
It is.
If you pay the $50 additional, they roll up the windows.
Uh-huh.
But don't do that because it'll do wonders for the interior. But really, I'm telling you, a paint job...
I'm going to do that to my Dacia.
I did it to Dougie's Miata while he was gone. He didn't even know it.
I hope he likes pink.
He'll learn to like it. But
good
that's
luck,
it, Vicky. Get a paint job.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler right after these messages. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. We all know that feeling of finding yourself stuck on the side of the road. But now you can avoid that pain by getting your vehicle the parts it needs before that breakdown, oh no, moment. With eBay Guaranteed Fit and over 122 million parts and accessories, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Just look for the green check. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, look, it's time for last week's puzzler, which was given by my brother.
And therefore, I remember.
Well, I was going to say so. I was just going to mention, pardon us if there are a few minutes of dead air while you're trying to remember, but evidently, you seem to think.
No, I actually remember this puzzler.
Yeah?
Yes, because, you know why? Because I had to have the answer.
Oh, you had to research it.
I had to research it.
Oh, yeah? Well, go ahead.
I mean, my son sort of was the inspiration for this puzzler, as I mentioned last week. And it was a very simple puzzler.
This was a sleeper, this one.
This was.
Put me right out.
A two-part puzzler. Part A, what is the capital of Liberia? Part two, why? I thought that was good. And here, I have to read from the encyclopedia... something or other. What encyclopedias do we have?
This is Encyclopedia Kmart.
Okay. wasn't I aware of this in the seventh grade?
Right, maybe. Because you were alive then.
There was no Liberia when I was there. In the late 1700s and early 1800s, many white people in the United States became concerned over the existence of freed slaves in their country.
Aha.
Some slave owners believed that the existence of freed slaves increased discontent among those still in slavery. Other white people objected to the integration of the black freed slaves into their society. So, in 1816, a group of white Americans established the American Colonization Society, ACS. And what this society did was to return free black slaves to Africa. The society.
I can't wait.
Bought land along the west coast of Africa and started a settlement. They named it. Here's the answer
just
to part A.
Is this the fourth grade edition that you're reading from here?
I'm having trouble. They named it, and here's the answer to part A of the puzzle, Monrovia, after the then president, James Monroe.
No kidding.
So
that answers the first part of the question, what is the capital of Liberia? And you are beginning to answer part
two. I've already answered part two.
Well, what did James Monroe, pray tell, have to do with it?
Well, he was part of the ACS.
Boy, it sounded much more exciting when you were asking the question.
Well, I mean, when he told me the story, it sounded as though it was an altruistic gesture on the part of these ACS guys.
Right.
That they had bought land in Africa so that the ones who had
and
been taken
And what they were really
Africa,
trying to do, and Mr. Monroe included, trying to get rid of what
they
would
were
have
trying
been
to get
troublemakers.
Rid of troublemakers. And so it turns out not to be a very altruistic thing at all, but a rather selfish gesture. And I'm a little ashamed of James Monroe personally.
Right. Well, you knew him, right?
Personal class of 29. 1729. Let me get this all right now. Do we have a winner, old dummy brother?
Yes, we do. The winner this week is Nancy Klopfleisch from Salina, Ohio, and for having her answer chosen at random from among all the correct answers.
Both.
Nancy will definitely win one of the following fabulous prizes. One, either a Car Talk baseball hat.
Or B,
either a Car Talk baseball hat. Or a Car Talk baseball hat. Nancy, one of these great prizes will definitely be yours. Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up, better than this one. So stay tuned for another chance to play Win a Hat. Win a Crummy Hat.
Wait, you didn't rank this puzzler on historic, challenging?
Historic 10.
Oof, 10, yeah. Right. Challenging?
Challenging.
Interesting?
3.
No, I thought that was extraordinarily interesting.
All right, then you rank it. No, it was interesting, but you know, it needs to a little more dramatization. I'll have to coach you a little bit on this. You'll see.
Dramatization.
Anyway, we have a new puzzle coming up, so stay tuned for another chance to play. Like I said, win a crummy hat. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name's Gus, and I'm from San Francisco, California.
Heard of it.
Yeah, it's not a bad place. I've got a problem with it's actually my mom's 89 Lincoln Mark 7.
Ooh.
Nice car, looks great, but when we're driving, I've driven it, and when you drive normally, if you're doing like normal driving through the city, when you hit the brakes, it seems to kind of jolt before it comes to a stop. It's almost like it's skipping a beat or something like that. I'm not really sure what it is.
The
old skipping the beat problem, I guess.
So. Yeah, I'm trying to feel it. I'm trying to get into this problem.
Yeah, me too.
I don't really have it yet.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not one with it, you know?
Does it sort of... I can't quite picture it.
Well, you got to describe it in different terms. You say it skips a beat when you step on the brake pedal.
You mean like it doesn't stop until a half a revolution of the tires or something? And then it grabs?
Yeah, it almost feels like it's grabbing, then letting go, then grabbing, letting go. But if you're if you're in danger of getting into an accident immediately and you slam on them, it works. It's anti-lock. I mean, they're anti-lock brakes.
Yeah, so if you just step on the brake normally, it's then it grabs.
And that's at low speeds. What happens at high speeds?
At high speeds, it does the same. If you're coming off the freeway and you're kind of slowing up and you're tapping on the brakes, it also kind of feels like it's skipping, and it makes kind of a do 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 that kind of a noise.
Okay,
yes.
So what you're feeling is as you step on the brake, you feel it's starting to slow down, and then all of a sudden maybe it speeds up a little bit and then slows down and like a rhythmic.
It doesn't seem fast. The car does not seem to speed up or anything. It just feels like it's having. It doesn't seem like it's gaining speed or anything like that.
It's just not slowing down like it ought to.
You got it.
Does the pedal feel peculiar when this happens? You feel any movement of the brake pedal?
Yeah, it seems to be moving a little bit as well.
Up and down.
Yeah, sort of up and down.
Excellent. Yeah. Gus, you have given us all the proper answers. You have not embarrassed
us?
Yeah,
it's great when we have cooperative callers.
That's right.
I do my best.
I mean, some people are so uncooperative. We ask them a question, we expect the right answer, they give us the wrong answer, and then our predetermined answer is no good. We have to come up with another one.
No, but you have given all the correct answers so that my brother will not be embarrassed.
You have warped at least one, probably two, warped discs.
Uh-huh.
This car probably has discs on all four wheels.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
And
I think so.
Mark 7.
I think so. Mark 7, 89. Why not? If you want discs on all four wheels, you got them. But you have, and it's probably one of the front ones, but who knows? What your mechanic will have to do is take the wheels off and probably put what's called a dial indicator on these things to see what the runout of the discs is.
Okay.
And he'll find that they're sort of wobbling. They will look like they were wobbling if you were standing right in front of it.
Okay.
Because they're bent.
Wow, is it dangerous to be driving around with this guy?
Well, you're not getting the proper braking, so to that extent, it is dangerous. It doesn't mean that you're not going to stop, but you're not going to stop as fast as you should stop. So if it were an emergency situation, you would lose some braking.
Right.
Right. As a matter of fact, this is not well known, but this was kind of the precursor to anti-lock brakes.
That's right.
Right? If they made warp discs.
Yeah, it would feel at least like anti-lock.
Yeah, General Motors pioneered this, I think, with Cavaliers. But that's, in fact, what anti-lock brakes do. They grab and let go,
That would be a clever way to do it.
It would have saved a lot of money, maybe.
You could have pre-warped discs.
It may have been out there.
It'd be a lot cheaper than the $800 that they charged.
Let me write this down. I'll work on the theory next week. I'll work on the mathematics. But get your discs machined or replaced or whatever and fix it, because it if nothing else, it's annoying.
Yeah, you got it. It feels like the whole car sometimes is just going to rattle apart.
Yeah, and especially if you can get your mother to pay for it.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, sure. If she pays for it, then you're all set. Good luck, Gus.
All right, thanks a lot,
Thanks
guys.
For your call.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And this happened from driving around the streets of San Francisco, of course.
Yes, with Carl Malden and the other guy. Well, there was the
Michael
other
Douglas.
Okay, hey, look. Yeah. It's time to discuss something very important.
What?
We have finally hit the big time.
Oh, yeah, right.
And we're going to discuss it.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, on June 30th of this year, Tommy and I are going to play, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Symphony Hall here in Boston.
That's the equivalent of, in New York,
Carnegie Hall.
I mean, this is Boston's answer.
Now, we have no idea what we'll play when we get there, but our names will be on the marquee on June 30th, and we'll probably be taken down that same night.
What's it going to say? Tom and Ray play Symphony Hall.
And lose. And to make sure that people aren't terribly disappointed, we've invited our buddies, you're going to love these guys, the Flying Karamazov Brothers.
These guys, they've made a movie, you know.
Yes, probably a few, but
we have seen them several times now.
Live? These guys are world-famous jugglers who have done for juggling what we have done for public radio. That is, ruin its good name.
Now, these guys actually, what they do is one of the acts they do is anyone in the audience can bring anything to the front of the stage, and they will juggle a mishmash of stuff. One of the times I was there, the guy was juggling a carburetor.
Which
you brought. Rice pudding, that was a mess.
Without the dish. And a football.
These are an interesting bunch of guys.
Anyway, this show is called, appropriately, Click and Clack Play Symphony Hall and Lose. And we're offering you a chance to be there for all the festivities. We're going to hold a drawing and fly one lucky listener and three of his or her friends to Boston to attend Click and Clack Play Symphony Hall on Thursday night, June 30 at 7:30 p.m. And if you're lucky, you can duck out of the show early and actually go and do something interesting. You don't have to stay for the whole thing, but you'll get your tickets and you're at liberty to do whatever you want.
What do you mean? They'll be there.
Now,
Thursday night, June 30, 7:30. So when will it come in, like Wednesday night?
No, Thursday afternoon about 6.
About 6. We'll pick them up at the airport and drive them directly to Symphony Hall.
Now, if you want to enter the contest, here's what you got to do. Send a postcard with your name, good start, your address, all of your telephone numbers, house, work, car, boat, hang glider, all that stuff, the station you listen to Car Talk on, and an essay of 25 or fewer words on what Click and Clack should do if they actually let them into Symphony Hall. Got it?
Good, I got it. What would they do with this postcard once they've written it out?
Put a stamp on it and send that postcard to Symphony Hall Contest, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city?
Mass 02238. Now I have to read the Carmen Miranda warning. All entries must be received by June 6th to be eligible for the random drawing.
Right.
You must be a resident of one of the 50 states to win. We're not flying in anyone from Bora Bora. You must be 21 or older to win, although your guests can be younger or older. Employees of NPR, its member stations, and their families are not eligible.
This means you, Horowitz.
Although employees of Dewey Cheatham and Howe are.
Right.
So, for instance, Dougie could win. Boy, that would save us some dough.
That would save us a lot of money.
So that's it. Send in your entries, and we'll choose a winner in a few weeks, and good luck.
Wow, this is exciting.
Well, we'll be until we get on stage.
You said in the beginning of the show that we were going to announce a possibility.
Yes, and if we have time, some point later on in the show, we'll read this again. I'll give you some of the. We'll give you a thumbnail sketch of the important. We'll probably never mention it again.
No.
Right after these messages, you'll hear more calls and a new puzzler coming right up. Fooled you, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio.
You hear all those people saying, boy, it's finally over, my God. And then bingo, here we are. Oh, no, another half hour.
Oh, here we are again. Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're here to answer your questions about cars, car repair, and the epitome of diplomacy.
Yes, this is. You could call it that.
Well, I just did, but.
Well, Bob Thornton from Lehigh wrote, The Lexicon of Intentionally Ambiguous Recommendations. I mean, so frequently, someone asks you for a recommendation, and your heart is not in it. So he has come up with, you notice that Lexicon of Intentionally Ambiguous Recommendations is L-I-A-R.
Yeah, right.
Got it?
I got it.
Okay. Here are some examples from Bob Thornton's book. If you have a candidate like who has interpersonal problems, here's what you write. I am pleased to say that this person is a former colleague of mine. Get it? If you have someone who's lazy, if I had to write a recommendation for you, I would write, in my opinion, you will be very fortunate to get my brother to work for you. Here's a couple of others. A guy who got a criminal record. He is a man of many convictions. And for the person who is truly inept, I most enthusiastically recommend my brother with no qualifications whatsoever. Gee, this guy is brilliant.
This is a book he's written?
This is a book, The Lexicon of Intentionally Ambiguous Recommendations.
Gee, I'm going to have to get that. You never know when someone asks me.
You never know. I love it.
My brother. Anyway, it's time for the new puzzler.
Yes. Do you have one?
Yes. In fact, I felt kind of lost last week because.
Yeah, because there I was usurping.
Nothing to do. I sat here eating a Snickers bar the whole time you were doing that.
Yeah.
And today, well, yeah, you usurped me.
But it only took me a second. What's the capital of Liberia and why? That was bingo. I didn't go into all the big long story like you do.
Well, I'm gonna take your lead and I'm gonna do exactly the same thing.
I see. The sense of the dramatic comes into the answer. Not into the question. Or both. I'll get it.
You'll see. I will lead by example. You ready? Here's the puzzle.
Yeah. I'll go ahead.
In 1993.
Wait a minute. 1993.
You don't have to write it down.
I'll just have to pay attention.
Oh,
okay.
A book was published about methods to make industrial production ecologically friendly.
Yeah.
In it, the author mentions an auto prototype proposed by a leading automobile executive. If the proposed car were actually put into production.
This is a quote now. This is a quote.
Well.
If the proposed
I stole. I can't take credit for this. I'll.
Don't say who you stole it from.
I stole this from Mark Lawrence from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Oh.
And he will get one of those crummy baseball hats, too. If the proposed car, he says, were actually put into production, its body would be made of soybean plastic. It would be powered by ethanol and would run on tires. Are you ready for this? This is the dramatic part.
Made out of roadkill.
Made from goldenrod. The car would, in fact, be biodegradable. We would, said the executive, be growing our own cars. You notice the drama in here? Do you sense the tension, the buildup of excitement?
Yeah, yeah.
And the question, therefore, is name this innovative automobile executive.
Wow.
I mean, we have new car. We have folkloric, historic. Now we have to add dramatic.
Dramatic.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so if you think you know the answer to this question,
yeah,
send it on a postcard or the back of a $20 bill to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238, and you'll win one of those crummy hats. And in the meantime, if you'd like to call us, the number is, while you figured out the working on the answer to this, you can call us at 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary Lynn calling from Arizona.
Just Arizona. Arizona's
Prescott, Arizona.
Prescott.
The retirement capital of the universe.
I was going to say that sounded familiar. I think that was featured in my last issue of Modern Maturity. Mary Lynn, is that what you said your name was?
Yes.
Well, what are you doing in the retirement community of the world there? You're not retired. I can tell from your voice.
I'm escaping from the Massachusetts winter.
No kidding.
Just permanently?
Yes, and I'm in an effort to escape from my Massachusetts accent as well.
You seem to have.
No kidding. Yeah. How long have you been incarcerated there?
2 years.
2 years.
And you love it, huh?
I love it. I'm not going to gloat, though, about our winters compared to your winter.
You won't, huh?
No. I know you're not, Mary Lynn.
Because we'll hang up on you. All right, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a Mazda protege.
Uh-huh.
What year?
91.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend insists that I should change the oil myself, although he usually changes it, and I usually dance around in my overalls,
yeah,
saying, can I help, dear? Because I don't really know what I can do.
So wait, this is...
But anyway, he thinks that I should use this stuff called engine flush and, like, put it in the into the oil and then let the motor idle for 5 minutes, and then it makes a really bad smell, like you're behind five trucks on the highway.
I was going to ask you a question, but I know the answer already.
What is the
question? Was going to ask you, is this boyfriend from Arizona, or did you bring the boyfriend from Massachusetts, too? And from the question, I can tell the boyfriend came from Massachusetts, too.
No, he didn't. He came from Arizona.
That's what I thought.
Although, you know what's very strange is that he's remarkably like the breed that I left in Massachusetts, and I was going to ask you a question about something this breed does, but...
Go ahead. You ask us that question first. We know the answer to this question,
yeah,
too.
This one's easy. Give us something challenging.
Well, what do you do with these guys who, like, have lots of carcasses of cars, like, around in their yard, and they have one that they're specially attached to? Like, with my dad, it was the Carmen Ghias, and he had, like, all these different parts of them, and with John, it's the Mustang.
Well, the reason John has these carcasses is he's using this motor flush in him, and he's wrecking all of his cars, and he has to dump them someplace.
No.
Don't let him use this stuff on your car. It is absolutely unnecessary. It should be written right on the can, unless the thing is at least 190,000 miles on it. You are forbidden by federal law to introduce this into the lubrication system.
This stuff should be called not engine flush, but last resort.
Last resort?
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Well, he probably got used to using it because he has the...
Jalopies.
He has a bunch of sleds, right.
And they all burned oil, and they all leaked oil, and they were all on their last legs, and for $5, you'll try anything.
Oh, I see.
Right, yeah. But you have a brand new car... And you don't want to contaminate it with this foul-smelling concoction that probably is going to do more damage than good.
It was really bad. I felt like it was an environmental hazard for 5 minutes.
It probably is.
Oh, so you actually did it, huh?
It smelled awful.
Yeah, don't let him do it anymore.
Threaten to break up with him.
Yeah.
Tell him this will be it.
Well, or threaten...
I actually just do it myself rather than doing what he calls the interpretive dance. The oil change.
And I think it's wonderful that he has all these carcasses around. The fact that he doesn't junk them, as some people would do, is an indication that he is a person
of
who
great
has an
sensitivity.
Exactly. He has an attachment with
and
the
loyalty.
Past,
loyalty.
And he is. That's the whole point. I mean, some people would just go and take a perfectly serviceable car and crush it. Or take their brother's.
You're not suggesting.
Or take their brother's perfectly serviceable car.
You're not suggesting that I or anyone that you know that would do anything like that.
If the shirt fits, wear it.
What does that engine flush stuff do?
What it does is it dissolves all kinds of things, presumably. And it's
gums, varnishes, and other crud buildup, carbon buildup, none of which you have in your engine.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, so it's unnecessary.
It is mostly for cars where people have never changed the oil for 150,000 miles, if they should get that lucky. And now it's got all these gums and varnishes, and the rings are all frozen so they don't work. And it's burning oil terribly. So you put this stuff in, which is basically kerosene, and it...
That's what it smells familiar. It made me think of Girl Scout camping.
See? It's Coleman fuel. That's what it is. And it dissolves everything, but you don't need it. So
okay.
It's crazy.
But it's dissolving your engine seals and all that. Leave well enough alone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Tell him hey, hon, I'm going to do an oil change. I already did it, John. I surprised you.
Yeah.
And tell him you used the flush.
That.
Tell him you're so excited you used two cans of flush the last time. See you later.
Tell him if he doesn't shape up, you'll take him back to Massachusetts.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, you've done it again. You've
done
wasted
what?
Another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is
What's
Doug
he
Berman.
Angry about? Oh, esteemed.
Esteemed. I didn't say
esteemed. Esteemed. Oh.
Our associate producer and dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer is Rita Sand. And our vacationing assistant producer is Jennifer Jiffy Loeb.
Where is she now?
I'm going to go through all the old shows, and I want to find out how many times I say vacationing.
Right. I mean, she
Jiffy
must get
Loeb.
8-9 weeks of vacation. I don't get it.
A month. Our technical advisor is the patron saint of free lunch, John Bugsy Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Twinkle Toes, Donut Breath. Make that 2 triple cheeseburgers Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our fleet manager is Oscar De La Rental. The keeper of the bell tower is Quasi Automotive. Our literary critics are Ernest and Julio Hemingway. Our staff marriage counselor is Marion Haste. And our director of long-range strategic planning, of course, is Kay Sarah. Our wardrobe is by Natalie Attire. The president of the Car Talk Hair Club for Men is Emerson Fittibaldi, who, by the way, is also a client. And, of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the other janitors in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. Thanks for listening, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And although no one thought they would stoop to something like this, this is NPR, National Public Radio.